السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ حسن ليلي.
أمينكم الله الرحمن كيف؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الأدب المفرد by الإمام البخاري رحمه الله. A book that he has specifically written about the conduct of a Muslim and his manners. As we repeat during the classes, after discussing our manners with the creatures, with relatives, with parents, with brothers, sisters, with wives, with children, with subordinates, with superiors, with neighbors, and so on, Al-Imam al-Bukhari took the right of guidance bismillah to issues regarding our dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the last few classes we have been talking about the manners as far as dua is concerned, the manners as far as adhkar are concerned. Today bismillah we will continue with the last chapter we reached, that is babu ma dhukira inda باب من ذكر عنده النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فلم يصلي عليه. The chapter about the one who, when the Prophet was mentioned before him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet was mentioned before him, فلم يصلي عليه, and he did not, or he would not say the Salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before that, the chapter was about Babu Salati ala Nabi, the chapter about the virtues, the honor, the excellence, and the rewards, the encouragement in the Sharia for As Salatu ala Nabi, saying the Salat on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought a few reports, very, very few, compared to the large number of reports that occur regarding the various virtues of saying Salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his encyclopedic work on giving Salat on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that's titled Jala'ul Afham or Jila'ul Afham fi Salati wa Salami ala Khairil Anam, a book that occurs in over 450 pages concerning the meaning, the virtues, the excellence of giving the Salat on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He had mentioned above 35 points of benefits. Likewise, in his work Zadul Ma'ad, he mentioned these virtues, all of them titling to above 35, the virtues of saying Salat on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why you will hear me say that the ahadith that Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned here under the virtues, under Babu Salati ala Nabi, they were very few. And that's for us to understand that we need to return to the other sources for the rest of the reports. But take these ones so that you know that it is important to always say Salatu ala Nabi. Allah had commanded us. He said, Ya inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala Nabi. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. The other side of the coin for this verse is that the person would hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would not say salat on him. He would not say at least alayhi salatu wa salam or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam al-Bukhari followed the chapter that encourages us or commands us to say salat. He follows it with the one who would hear and not say salam. The first hadith we read under that chapter was hadith 644, where, as was reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam raqa al-mimbar. He was going up his mimbar. When he climbed the first level of it, he said Amin. Then he went up the second level of the mimbar. He said Amin. He went up the third level of the mimbar. Again, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said Amin. Faqalu ya Rasul Allah. The companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, Saminaka taqulu Amin thalath marrat. We heard you saying Amin three times. Why? What is it? What has happened? Qal, he answered alayhi salatu wasalam, Lamma raqitu darajat al-ula, جاءني جبريل فقال, when I went up the first level, Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to me and said, شقي عبد أدرك رمضان فانسلخ منه ولم يغفر له. شقي عبد, wretched is a slave. What happened to him? أدرك رمضان فانسلخ منه. He was alive in the month of Ramadan. فانسلخ منه. The month gradually went away from him. ولم يغفر منه. And he did not gain, he did not attain forgiveness from Allah in the month of Ramadan. Shaqi abdun, this kind of a servant, is shaqi. He has already became, or he acted like someone at a loss. He has gotten into serious loss. Ramadan came and he did not gain forgiveness from Allah. Thumma qal, he said, then Jibril said again, شقي عبد أدرك والديه أو أحدهما فلم يدخله الجنة. Wretched, at a loss is a servant. What did the servant do? أدرك والديه أو أحدهما. He met his two parents or one of them. فلم يدخله الجنة. And the two of them, or the one that he met, did not make him enter al-Jannah. How? The man, the child, the girl, the woman who is a child, who met his parents or her parents, she did not do the deeds of al-Jannah by way of being dutiful and serving the parents, getting their pleasure. He did not. This kind of a person is at a loss. The third hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثم قال شقي عبد ذكرت عنده. And it is our point of reference. A servant is at a loss. A servant would be wretched. ذكرت عنده. You, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, ذكرت عنده. You were mentioned before him. وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ, and that servant did not say salat on you. The Prophet, on each of those three situations, when Jibril described the condition of the people, or made the dua against the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Jibril made the dua. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he was saying Ameen to the dua. Ikhwa, this is evidence that the person who will hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned, and he would not say salat and salam on him, such a person is at a loss. Such a person is wretched. So if you are asked, who is shaqi? From those who are ashqiya, from those who are people of wretchedness, from amongst them is the one who will hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walam yusalli alayhi, he would not say salat on him. Let us start from this class itself and the rest of our classes, brothers and women and all the rest of us. Please pay attention. It is not lawful for you to hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned and then you keep quiet. So as we are in class now, and that's one of the benefits of these kinds of classes, when you attend them and the name of the Prophet was repeatedly mentioned, you repeatedly gain each time you hear it. The Prophet said, you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such that within the period of 1 hour, you might have said salatu ala nabi more than 100 times within a period of 1 hour. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the scholars say, هَذَا مِنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَىٰ وُجُوبِ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَىٰ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ حِينَ يُذْكَرُ. They say this is one of the evidences. عَلَىٰ وُجُوبِ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَىٰ النَّبِيِّ. It proves that it is compulsory. Those evidences that prove that it is compulsory to say صَلَاةُ عَلَىٰ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hina, at the period, at the time, that time he's been mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please, ikhwa, let us imbibe that culture. Say salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for each of the salat you make on the nabi, al-imam al-Bukhari followed with hadith 645. We have read this hadith. But I want to bring us to class today. For each of the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you say, or for each of the alayhi salatu wa sallam that you say, or for each of the Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Each time you say any one of these or the rest of the other expressions the Prophet taught, what do you gain? The Prophet said صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة. من صلى علي واحدة. Anyone who says the salat on me, salatan wahidatan, one salat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like this, or alayhi salatu wa sallam, like this, or other expressions that he has taught to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you do that once, what you are saying is that Allah should mention the Prophet in the best of gatherings. And he should shower his blessings and compassion on him. If you say this once regarding the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, sallallahu alayka biha ashra, Allah will grant you that salat for what you did, that one you did. Allah will replenish for you in tenfolds. Allah alone knows the value and the extent of each of them, but you will gain tenfold That is, some of the scholars say Allah will mention you in the best of gatherings. Allah will make you to be a person that it is righteous people who will be talking about you. Just like unrighteous people discuss unrighteous people. They make them their celebrities and they celebrate them. If you are used to doing salah to Allah Nabi, those who will be mentioning you for goodness, they are the people of goodness. They will mention you. They will make dua for you. They will beg Allah to forgive you. They look forward to goodness from you. And they look forward to extending goodness to you. When you pass away, those who will be concerned about you will be the people of righteousness. We all were listening during the week when one of our brothers, Sheikh Al-Almai, passed away. May Allah forgive this brother. He's not so old, he's young. He might be in his early 40s, but he was very handsome, rahimahullah, and he was very beautiful in his speech, very eloquent, very soft-spoken. His eloquence in Arabic especially was well known. And when he delivered a speech, or he gave a lesson, or he explained a point, he was usually clear. He employed the various approaches to explaining. He repeats when repetition was necessary. He raised his voice when raising the voice was appropriate. He spoke with a low tone when speaking in a low tone is required. And he made a master class. I listened specifically about a year ago to a lesson he gave in an akiko he attended with one of our very eminent brothers also, Imam al-Kutubi. They attended an akiko together. I was just, YouTube suggested that I should listen to it. And I listened to the lesson the two of them gave. The two of them were attending the akiko of a friend. They were very excellent. May Allah preserve those of us who are alive and forgive our brother Al-Almai who passed away. He is actually an Al-Mai. The Al-Mai is the one who is very emotionally intelligent and brilliant, excellent in his dealings, like Mahir, who has Mahara. In his own case, he adds brilliance and intelligence to it. I beg Allah to forgive this servant of his. I beg Allah to pardon his mistakes. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his grave a place of ease for him. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the grave rawdatun min riyadil jannah, one of the gardens of al-jannah, and not make it hufratun min hufarin nar. May Allah not make it a hole from the holes of the fire. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our dua for him. Ikhwa, this brother was mentioned by all our very eminent brothers. He was mentioned for good. Young and old men, women were being mentioned for good. One of the blessings you gain when you are used to saying salah to Allah Nabi, when you are used to defending the sunnah, is that Allah grants you, biiznillah, a good mention amongst the people of righteousness. You may not hear musicians talking about him. You may not hear entertainment people talking about him. You may not hear the mainstream government, his social media platforms and all of these talking about people like this. But Allah will grant him good mentioning fil mala'il a'la, amongst the best, amongst the mala'ika. and they will transmit the information on the earth for the people of righteousness to mention him with goodness and make dua for him. If you want an end like this, one of the major jobs you have is that keep saying Salatu ala Nabi. Because when you say Salatu ala Nabi one time, you say that Allah should mention the Prophet in the best of gathering one time. Sallallahu alayka biha ashra. Allah, for that one, he will give you the rewards similar to that in tenfold. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it now that the one who hears the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and does not say salat on him, is he not losing? Is he not truly a loser? As we heard in that hadith of Jabir, that Shakiya Abdun is a loser. He loses all these huge rewards. He misses out in all these huge rewards. He becomes wretched. He is at a loss. He is shaki, wretched. A person at a loss. He loses these huge rewards. Why? Zukira indahu nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioned before him. Falam yusalli alayhi. He did not say salat on him. He's at a loss. Something similar to that was in Hadith 646. That was reported by Abu Huraira. The first was by Jabir. The second here in 646 was by Abu Huraira. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرق المنبر فقال آمين آمين آمين. That the messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام went on the minbar. The prophet was saying آمين 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 three times. قيل له يا رسول الله ما كنت تصنع هذا. Oh messenger of Allah, you did not used to do something like this. In other riwayat, it said, "Samina minka al-yawma shay'a ma kunna nasma'uhu." Samina minka al-yawma shay'a. We have heard something from you today, O Messenger of Allah. Ma kunna nasma'uhu. We did not used to hear you when you go up the stairs of the minbar. We did not used to hear you say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. So how come? What's happening? He said, alayhi salatu salam, Qala li Jibreel, Aragima anfu abdin, Adraka abwayhi aw ahadahuma, Lam yudkhilhu al-jannah. Aragima anf, we explained. The anf is the nose. Aragima, that is may arragam, earth, to rub, may it come on the nose, may his nose be rubbed in the dust and clay. Who is that? Abdun Adraka Abway, a servant who met his two parents or one of them, Lam Yudkhilhu al-Jannah, and that he's meeting them, that is Idraku Alwalidaini aw Ahadihima Lam Yudkhilhu al-Jannah. It did not become a means for him to enter Al-Jannah. This kind of a person, Oragima and Fuhu, may his nose be dragged in the dust. May he be put to shame. May he be put to disgrace. May he, this is different a bit from the issue of loss. The first one said, Shaqiya Abdun. The second one said, Oragima Anfi Abd. You can see. So, Ikhwa, let us take care of our parents. The one who does not take care of his parents or her parents are accursed. Ya Allah, protect us. Qul to Amin. Jibril made that dua. The Prophet said Amin. Thumma qal. Subsequently, Jibril said again, Raghima anfu abdin dakhala alayhi ramadhan lam yughfar lahu. Ragima anfu abdin. Ragima anfu abdin. Dakhala alayhi ramadhan. May the nose of an individual be dragged in the dust and clay. May he be disgraced. May he be in demean. May he be put to shame. Who is that? دخل عليه رمضان. A servant who Ramadan came upon him. لم يغفر له. And he did not gain forgiveness from Allah. No good deeds. No fasting, perhaps. Or he was fasting and busy on the social media with videos, with films, rather than getting busy with the Quran. So he might even be adding up sins in Ramadan instead of being busy with acts of penitence. May Allah forgive us. So this kind of a person, may they be put to shame. Why? They dropped what was important and took away, and they took what will even bring harm and shame to them. فَقُلْتُ Amin. The Prophet said, I said, Amin. Thirdly, ثُمَّ قَالَ Then Jibreel said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ May the nose of a man be put to dust and clay. This man, ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ You, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were mentioned in front of him. He heard you be mentioned. Ikhwa, whenever we say Muhammad, let us say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say al-Nabiyu, let us say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each time, even if it's being a pronoun, but he was so clear in that pronoun that it is referring to him alayhi salatu wa sallam so clearly. Ikhwa, tamahal, us, say salatu ala Nabi. Because if you don't do that, you'll be behaving like an accursed person. May Allah protect us from the curse. It was a curse that Jibreel gave, and the Prophet said, Amin to it. So please, it shows the gravity of the obscenity that you heard the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you did not say anything, no salatu ala Nabi. This is grossly inappropriate. Bismillah, we start Hadith 647, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, حدثنا علي قال حدثنا سفيان قال حدثنا محمد بن عبد الرحمن مولى آل طلحة قال سمعت قريبا أبا رشدين بن عباس عن جويرية بنت الحارث بن أبي ضرار أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خرج من عندها وكان اسمها برة فحول النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اسمها فسماها جويرية فخرج وكره أن يدخل واسمها برة ثم رجع إليها بعدما تعالى النهار وهي في مجلسها فقال ما زلت في مجلسك لقد قلت بعدك أربع كلمات ثلاث مرات لو وزنت بكلماتك وزنتهن سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد أو مدد كلماته Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, well-known Abu Abdullah, well-known Ali ibn Abdullah ibn al-Madini was from the major teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, from one of those that he mostly respects. And Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini was amongst the colleagues of the likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the likes of Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in. These were colleagues, Ali ibn al-Madini, Imam Ahmad, Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in. They were always together. in Baghdad at the time, and they were all from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. So he said, Haddathana Aliyun, Qala Haddathana Sufyan. Ali ibn al-Madini, he said, Haddathana Sufyan. This is in reference to Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Abu Muhammad al-Hilali. Abu Muhammad al-Hilali, the Sheikh of Ali ibn al-Madini, is well known. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he was from those who lived in the times of Al-Imam Malik, Rahimahullah, and other elders amongst the scholars of Hadith, like Sufyan Thawri and others. Sufyan ibn Uyayna was a well-known, huge, very eminent and prominent scholar of Hadith. He was amongst those who reported that first Hadith. He was in the Isnad. That first Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyat. From those who reported that Hadith was Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman, Mawla Ali Talha. Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman, his kunya was Abu Abdullah, and he was At-Taymi, rahimahullah. So he was reporting from Quraib. He said, Sami'tu Quraiban Aba Rishdain. Quraib was from amongst the freed slaves of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Quraib, well known. He occurs in that popular hadith about Khilaful Matali', fasting and depending on the fast in Ramadan, on the sighting of your own location. We remember that hadith between Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Abdullah ibn Abbas in Sahih Muslim. Quraib was there. He was the one who was sent to make that verification. Quraib. So he is Quraib Mawla Abdullah ibn Abbas. And his kunya was Abu Rishdain. Abu Rishdain. Fortunately, he was reporting this from Abdullah ibn Abbas, who freed him from slavery. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, reports this from one of the wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Juwayriya bintul Harith ibn Abi Dirar, one of the wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name was Juwayriya. She used to bear that name, Barra. Barra means like outside or far away. So the Prophet, what does Barra mean? Barra, Barratun, some far away, outside there, out there. So the Prophet changed her name to Juwayriya, a young, beautiful girl, young lady. It even came in Tasgir because it should be Jariya, but it came as Juwayriya, little young girl. That was the name the Prophet gave her, Juwayriya. Juwayriya, she is Mustaliqiya. What does that mean? She was from Banu Mustaliq, radiallahu anha. The Prophet freed her from slavery. You remember the battle of Muraisi'. Muraisi' was the name of a well in the community of Banu Mustaliq. Don't forget that Qissatul Ifk happened to Aisha when they entered Medina, returning from this battle of Banu Mustaliq. That tribe that they went to face in a battle was Banu Mustaliq, the tribe of Juwayriya that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam later married. They came, the father of Juwayriya accepted Islam. The father of Juwayriya accepted Islam from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Likewise, Juwayriya, She accepted Islam and the Prophet freed her from slavery. Aisha radiallahu anha spoke about the first encounter between Juwayriya and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very lengthy hadith. At that time, the battle just ended. They were captives, males, females, the other things. So one of the companions had Juwayriya. At that time, her name was Barra. And she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she should be freed. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, كانت جويريت امرأة لا يراها أحد إلا أخذت بنفسه. Juwayriya was a very beautiful woman. لا يراها أحد, no one saw her, إلا أخذت بنفسه, except that she charmed the person. I mean, she was charming. She would take over your attention and your mind. Radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Juwayriya. She accepted Islam. He freed her, and her freedom was her mahar. Her being freed from slavery was her mahar. The Prophet did something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In addition to freeing her, the Prophet freed all Banu Mustalik who were captured as slaves in that battle because of Juwayriya. And our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, وَمَا أَعْلَمُ امْرَأَةً كَانَتْ أَعْظَمَ بَرَكَةً عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهَا مِنْهَا مَا أَعْلَمُ امْرَأَةً. I do not know of any woman كَانَتْ أَعْظَمَ بَرَكَةً who became so hugely beneficial to her people. Ala qawmiha, she was so beneficial because as she accepted Islam, she got to agree to marry the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet married her. He freed the entirety of her tribe who were held captive after the battle. And the people began to say, why should we take the in-laws of the Prophet as captives? Everybody was freed. Aisha said, radiallahu anha, because she was also at that battle. Don't forget, it was when they returned after Banu Mustalik that Qissatul Ifk happened. So it means from those amongst the wife of the Prophet who was also available during that battle was Hafsa, because both Aisha and Hafsa were on that battle with Banu Mustalik or Ghazwatu al-Muraisir. It was after the battle that the Prophet freed them, all of them, because of Juwayriya. He got married to, by way of kindness, to his in-laws, alayhi salatu wasalam. All of them became freed. This woman, Juwayriya, became a means of kindness for the entirety of her tribe. It got free because she had married the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was quite beautiful. The scholars would say that كانت Juwayriya radiallahu anha min أجمل النساء. Juwayriya was from the best, most brilliant, most beautiful. Juwayriya kanat min ajmal nisa. She was from amongst the most beautiful, radiyallahu anha, amongst the women. And her father was a very eminent person in their tribe. He was a very, very rich and eminent person in their tribe, radiyallahu anhu wa radiyallahu anha. So this is about an incident between her and her husband, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kharaja min indiha. The Prophet had left her room. The Prophet had left her room. It was said to be after Salatul Fajr. The Prophet came and then he went away. Wa kana ismuha Barra. This is an additional information that The name of Juwairiyah was Barra. What did we say Barra means? Out there, outside there, away there. That was the name of Juwairiyah. وَكَانَ اسْمُهَا بَرَّةً فَحَوَّلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ اسْمَهَا. So the Prophet حَوَّلَ اسْمَهَا. The Prophet changed her name. فَسَمَّاهَا جُوَيْرِيَّة. So the Prophet changed her name to Juwairiyah. There's a lesson there. An individual can change his own name. A learned person, when you find somebody bearing a name that is wrong, Sharan, or that is wrong, Aklan, we can suggest that the person change or changes his name or her name. Why not think about changing this name? So we can do that. We can change our own names. But we cannot change the names of our own father because we did not name him that. You will see that her name was Bintul Haris. She is Bintul Haris Ibn Abi Dirar. Haris, her father. His own father was Abu Dirar. You know the meaning of Abu Dirar? The father of the person who causes harm to people. Dirar. Don't forget, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. He is Abu Dirar. The Prophet did not change that one. So if your name is Abdurrahman, Ibn Shango Deru, Shango Dira, I don't know. I am just giving this as an example. In case we have a brother listening whose name is Abdurrahman, the son of Shango Dira, you can change a name, your own. So let's say the name you had, someone had a name, maybe Ayan, right? Let's use Ayan. Ayan Tola, Ayan Damilola, Ayan was drum, Ilu is Ayan. But it is said that Ayan is the god connected to the drums. So they say, Ayan Damilala, the god of the drums, gave me wealth or was beneficial to me. So when a learned person asks you, what's your name? Say, Ayan Tolu. Say, is that your name? Say, yes. Your name? Say, yes. Please change this name. So you can change the name from Ayan, whatever, to what? Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Muhammad, and the likes of that. So you can change your own name. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not change the name of her grandfather, Abu Dirar, the father of those who cause people harm. He didn't change that one, but her own name. So those of us who have these issues, you can change your own name if your own name has bad connotations, but not the name of your father or your grandfather. Your father can change his own name by himself. Your grandfather can change his own name by himself if they are all alive. But that you change your father's name after his death, or you change your father's name when your father is still alive, you don't have that right. But your own name, Nam, you have a right to change it. So Barra, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, حول اسمها, he changed her name, فسماها جويرية. So he named her جويرية صلى الله عليه وسلم. فخرج, so he came into her apartment. فخرج من عندها, he went out of her. This is another additional information. وكره أن يدخل واسمها برا. The Prophet did not like it that he would come into her, in her apartment, while her name is Barra. What does that mean? The Prophet will come into her, and her name means was outside. The Prophet will go into the room to somebody whose name is what? Outside. So that was inappropriate. So that was why Samaha Juwairiyah. The Prophet named her Juwairiyah. There's also a lesson there. the husband can suggest a change of name by the wife. The wife, your husband can say, this is a name, why not change it? If it's a name, like we said, that contradicts the Sharia. We gave examples already. Like here, the prophet was the husband, and he was the one suggesting that change of name. Don't forget, he was also the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So وَكَرِهَا أَنْ يَدْخُلَ وَاسْمُهَا بَرَّهُ. The prophet disliked that he would come into her while her name means outside. So you are coming into a woman. Is it that she's ordering you to go out? So it does not appear sensible at all. So the prophet خَرَجَ مِنْ إِنْدِهَا. The prophet went out after Salatul Fajr. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهَا بَعْدَمَا تَعَالَ النَّهَارِ. Then he returned to her, alayhi salatu wasalam, بَعْدَمَا تَعَالَ النَّهَارِ. After when the daytime had really emerged from the time of duha, the sun had emerged, had risen, everywhere was bright. وَهِيَ فِي مَجْلِسِهَا. And she was still in her place when where she sat when the Prophet went out. After Fajr, the Prophet went out, alayhi salatu wasalam. He came back بَعْدَمَا تَعَالَ النَّهَارِ, after the daytime had really emerged and became established, the time of Salatul Duha, the Prophet came back. He still found her in the same place that she was sitting. فَقَالَ, then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, مَا زِلْتِ فِي مَجْلِسِكِ, مَا زِلْتِ فِي مَجْلِسِكِ, you are still sitting in the place, you have not left where you are still sitting, mazilti. You are still continuing to sit here where I had left you. Laqad qultu ba'daki arba'a kalimat thalath marrat. I have said arba'a kalimat, four expressions, thalath marrat, three times, four expressions. Let's note it, brothers. Four expressions, three times. لو وزنت بكلماتك وزنتهن, if they were weighed with your own adhkars that you have been saying since after Fajr up until the time of Salatul Duha, وزنتهن, they will weigh them down. Let us note two points of benefit here. Juwayriya was beautiful and she was busy with ibadah, radiallahu anha. Her father was an eminent person, rich. She herself was beautiful. Her husband was Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet she was a woman who was full of ibadah. Full of ibadah. Full of ibadah. After Fajr, she was remaining on her place, on her majlis, in her musalla, since after Fajr, until the Prophet went and came back and still met her there. Radiallahu anha. This is a big lesson for women. Today, women, we say, oh, Ustaz, if we stay at home, what will we be doing? These are the things you'll be doing. And by the means of doing these things, your husbands will gain help and support from Allah. Your husband will gain help and support for Allah if you are a woman like this. The Prophet told us clearly in a hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, إِنَّمَا تُنصَرُونَ وَتُرْزَقُونَ. You see now, بِدُعَاءِ أَهْلِكُمْ. You are تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ. Allah will provide help, sustenance, وَتُنصَرُونَ, help for your husband. By that dua of the wife. But this is the wife running about in our own times, going from one mulwe to the other, one taxi, one Uber, one bolt, carry you, fly you about. May Allah protect our women and grant them ease. As for Juwayriya, her father was rich. Her husband is the best man, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. She herself, she was an epitome of beauty. Yet, she was full of ibadat. So that Allah, by her, makes her husband gain help and sustenance. The conduct of a woman influences the wealth of a man. That is an example that you have seen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, لَقَدْ قُلْتُ بَعْدَكِ أَرْبَعَ كَلِمَاتٍ. I have said after I left you, I have said four expressions. ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. I have said those four expressions three times. Those expressions, لَوْ وُزِنَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِكِ وَزَنَتْ هُنَّ. If you weigh them against the expressions you were saying, وَزَنَتْ هُنَّ, they will weigh them down. The second point of benefit here, Ikhwa, is that how did the Prophet know what she was saying? Two ways. He might have heard her when he was there, leaving her. You remember he was with her in the room, then he left. So he might have heard her saying some expressions, some dua, like, oh Allah, help me, oh Allah, grant me this, oh Allah, grant me that. She might have been saying things like that. Radiallahu anha. So she might have been saying things that the Prophet heard directly, or that the Prophet was inspired by Allah to know what she was saying. So either he heard her, or that Allah told him, don't forget. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the story in Suratul Mumtahina, la, in Suratul Tahrim, man anba'aka hadha, who gave you this information? And he said, Nabba'ani al-alim al-khabir. So Allah says some things to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is possible that he either heard her directly before he went out, and then he came back and heard her said the same thing, or he did not hear, he did not know what she was saying, but Allah told her, these are the things that Juwayriyyah, your wife, was saying. What are these four expressions that the Prophet said three times? The expression is Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Note it. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi adada khalkihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimatihi. Four. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa ridha nafsihi. Two. Wa zinata arshihi. Three. Wa midada kalimatihi. Four. Those are four expressions. We can say it three times. This is evidence that this expression is said in the morning, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her to say it in the morning. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزينة عرشه ومداد كلماته. What does that mean? سبحان الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely free of all kinds of imperfection. Everything called imperfection, Allah is high above it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِحَمْدِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely deserving of praise. He is free from imperfections and is absolutely deserving to be praised. عَدَدَ خَلْكِهِ. He is free from imperfection and deserving praise in the number of his creatures. This is the first expression. He is absolutely free from imperfections and deserving of all praises, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, how many times? Adada khalqihi, in the number of his creatures. So how many are his creatures? How many angels has he created? How many angels? The Baytul Ma'mur, the first heaven, the hadith has it that 70,000 angels go around in his tawaf, and when they go, they don't come back again till the day of Qiyamah. So how many has been going around since Allah created mankind, since creation? How many has been going around the Baytul Ma'mur? And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the things he told us about the heavens is that there is no place in the heavens where you can place your leg, except that there is an angel there making sujood. So how many are the angels? How many are they? So this large number, that is the number of times you are saying Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Taib, how many are the stones? How many are the atoms, the various nucleus, or whatever, the number of his creatures? How many lions were created? How many? How many human beings are created? So you see, meaning that adad khalqihi is a huge number that is known to him alone. So you are saying that Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adad khalqihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, in the number of times that Allah alone knows. Waridha nafsihi. How much is Allah's pleasure with the people that He is pleased with? How many are the people that Allah is pleased with? He alone knows their large number. Ridha nafsihi. Wa zinat arshihi. Zinatu arshihi. The weight of His arsh. The arsh is so huge. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Buruj, Allah called it Al-Arsh Al-Majid. He said, Dhul Arsh Al-Majid. Dhul Arsh Al-Majid. This arsh is majid, grandiose, mighty. So what is its weight? He alone knows. Meaning that Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, in all of these numbers, adad khalqihi, He alone knows their number. Waridha nafsihi, the pleasure that He has shown to His servants. He alone knows how much it is. Wazinata arshihi, the weight of His arsh. He alone knows it. Wamidada kalimatihi, and His speech, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, His speech, the number of His speech. It's known to, what, how many things has Allah said? It's known to Him alone, Subhanahu. So each of these four things, we are saying Subhanallah, the number of them. We just added number to it. Otherwise, it is mind blowing. We don't know. He alone knows how much it is. If you say these expressions three times, you have said a great deal of adhkar. Subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, waridha nafsihi, two, wa zinata arshihi, three, wa midada kalimatihi. That is number four. Say it three times in the morning. This is another job that we have taken. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, waridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimatihi. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Juwayriya, our mother, Ummul Mu'minin, he taught her to say these expressions so that she gains more rewards from her sitting down, radiallahu anha. In the number that followed, it said, Qala Muhammad, it said that Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Aliyun. This hadith was reported to us by Ali ibn al-Madini. Qala haddathana bihi Sufyanu ghayra marratin. Ali ibn al-Madini said, Sufyan ibn Uyayna narrated this hadith to us ghayra marratin, more than once. How did he narrate it? He will say, haddathana Muhammadun, that is Muhammad ibn Abdurrahman, Mawla Ali Talha, and Quraib. He was reported from Quraib and Ibn Abbas and the Nabiya. He reported from Quraib, from Abdullah ibn Abbas, as a narration that Abdullah ibn Abbas was narrating. And the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam kharaja min indi Juwayriya wa lam yakul an Juwayriya illa marratan. So Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reported it. So Sufyan ibn Uyayna, more than once, if he reported it, he will say, and Ibn Abbas, and Ibn Abbas, he reports it as something that Ibn Abbas narrated. But on an occasion, he reported it as that Ibn Abbas heard it from Juwayriya. That Ibn Abbas narrated it, we could ask two questions. Was Ibn Abbas there when that incident took place? He was not there because this was a private thing between the husband and the wife. And Ibn Abbas, whenever he went into the house of the Prophet, he went to the house of Maimuna, alayhi salatu wasalam, radiallahu anha. Maimuna was the maternal aunt of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. So how did Ibn Abbas know? We say this is from the aspects of Mursalus Sahabi, a Sahabi reporting an incident that he did not witness. Like Ibn Abbas telling us something that happened before Hijrah. He was a young boy before Hijrah. Or Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu telling us something that happened before Hijrah. Abu Huraira only came in the 70th of Hijrah. So how come he's telling us something that happened before Hijrah? They heard it from those who witnessed it amongst the companions, radiallahu anhum. This kind of a thing is called Mursalu as-Sahabi. A Sahabi reporting a hadith that he was not directly a witness to, but he heard it from those who were witnesses to it. So the second report of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, where he said, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, and Juwayriya narrated to me. So it made it clear that even when Ibn Abbas did not mention that Juwayriya mentioned to him, he actually heard it from Juwayriya. That's why the scholars say that Mursalu Sahabi Hujja. When a Sahabi reports something that he was not a witness to, it is Hujja. Why? He would not report it and ascribe it to the Prophet. As long as the isnad is sahih ila sahabi, he will not do that, radiallahu anhu, except that he heard it from a companion like himself, radiallahu anhum. So that is what Al-Bukhari is trying to say there, that this report, don't wonder how come Ibn Abbas heard it. Ibn Abbas was told by Juwayriya, radiallahu anha. I like us to quickly read the next hadith. Even though the time had reached, please let us quickly take this hadith. Hadith 648. It said that Haddathana ibn Salam, Qala Haddathana Abu Muawiyah an al-A'mash, an Abi Salih, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Ista'idhu billahi min jahannam, Ista'idhu billahi min azab al-qabri. استعيذوا بالله من فتنة المسيح الدجال استعيذوا بالله من فتنة المحيا والممات. May Allah protect us. Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Abu Abdullah ibn Salam al-Bikandi rahimahullah. This Imam was from the first amongst the teachers that Al-Imam al-Bukhari took knowledge from. Very knowledgeable, very righteous, Muhammad ibn Salam. This Salam, it is with takhfif, without a shadda. Some people call him Salam, Muhammad ibn Salam. It's a mistake. He is Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi. He was stupendously rich, rahimahullah. He was greatly very knowledgeable, rahimahullah. There are incidences regarding him. Perhaps whenever we have another time, we find him in an isnad, we will discuss that. Ibn Salam al-Bikandi was very rich, was very righteous, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Abu Muawiyah. Abu Muawiyah in this isnad is Muhammad ibn Hazim at-Tamimi. Muhammad ibn Hazim at-Tamimi, that well-known student of Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-A'mash. Fortunately, this report is from Al-Imam al-A'mash. Al-A'mash Sulaiman ibn Mihran is reporting here from Abu Salih. Abu Salih, he is Zakwan al-Zayyat. I have not heard us naming Zakwan. Zakwan al-Zayyat al-Samman, Abu Salih. Well-known student of Abu Huraira, رضي الله عنه. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, استعيذوا بالله من جهنم. O people, every one of us should ask for Allah's protection from the fire of Jahannam. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من النار. Say it like this. This expression that I said, the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, anybody who says it three times, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من النار three times. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you against the fire. The fire too, we say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you against this man. Don't bring this man to me. So when the Prophet said, Istaizu billahi min jahannam, one way to do that, he taught us. How do we say it? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an-nar. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an-nar. May Allah protect all of us from the fire. Again, he said, Istaizu billahi min adhabi al-qabri. O people, ask Allah for protection away from the punishment of the grave. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi al-qabri. The Prophet said that too. He taught us that. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi al-qabri. Oh Allah, I ask your protection. I run to you for refuge so that you protect me away from the punishment of the grave. Ikhwa, we are all going to the grave. Start making that dua now for a stay of peace inside the grave. There is no running away from it. When the time comes for each of us, it's a place that is our home. We must all be in our graves when our times come. So start begging Allah now that He does not punish you in that grief and keeping away from the things that can make you become liable to be punished in the grief. May Allah protect us. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi al-qabri. Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ista'idhu billahi min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Ask Allah's protection. Min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal, away from the fitna of Dajjal. Dajjal is Dajjal. The meaning of Dajjal is kazzab, the ardent, absolute liar. He lies, Dajjal. I hope that the teachers will be teaching about Dajjal. We have not been hearing us talking about Dajjal. One of the signs that Dajjal will soon emerge is that he will not be talked about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said that in an authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. Dajjal will come when people stop talking about him. When last did we hear an imam on the minbar reminding the people about Dajjal? Meanwhile, Nuh told his people about Dajjal. All the prophets of Allah, when they come, they tell the people, oh, Dajjal will come. The Prophet too, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us that Dajjal will come. And he told us how serious the fitna of Dajjal is. He said, Ma bayna khalki Adam ila qiyam as-sa'ah fitnatun akbaru inda Allahi min ad-Dajjal. There is no fitna, no trial, since when Allah created Adam up to when the last hour will be established. There is no greater fitna than the fitna of Dajjal. It's a big fitna. So he said, Ista'idhu billahi min fitnati al-Masih al-Dajjal. Ask Allah's protection from the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal. May Allah protect us from the fitna of Dajjal. The fourth one, he said, Ista'idhu billahi min fitnati al-Mahya wal-Mamat. Ask Allah's protection from the fitna of life and fitna at death, fitna of life. There are many. I'm sure nobody will be asking what is fitna of life. Fitna of life, fitna of existence. Likewise, the fitna of the time of death. Many people became kuffar shortly before they died. May Allah protect us from those fitan. Ikhwa, why has Al-Imam Al-Bukhari brought these two hadith here? He has brought them to make us understand that sometimes we say expressions in dua, and they are bigger than saying, Allah, give me this, Allah, give me this, Allah, give me this. To say, Subhanallah, walhu bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimatihi. You are not asking for anything. These are huge rewards. So the same thing, salatu ala nabi. You are not asking for anything directly from Allah, but saying salatu ala nabi is huge rewards. If you don't say salatu ala nabi, you are losing. You are a loser if you don't say salatu ala nabi when you hear his name. So he gave us example of other adhkar. They do not include asking Allah for something, but they have huge rewards. Just like you are saying salatu ala nabi, you are not asking Allah for something, but it contains huge rewards. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today, inshallah, so that we can take a few questions that we may have about the Rahman. About the Rahman. Well, there is a question here we can talk about. The brother said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Please, which should be given priority between istighfar and salatu ala nabi? Well, give istighfar lots of priority. Give salatu ala nabi lots of priority. If you say Allahumma gfirli warhamni, we said repeatedly. We even mentioned a number of expressions with which we can ask for istighfar. Rabbi gfirli warhamni. Various expressions with which we can ask for Allah's forgiveness. And that will be like asking a question instead of keeping clean and wearing a new clothes, wearing a cloth, just seeking to amass new clothes and keeping clean. Which one is better? You see, we'll give good preference to keeping clean, and we will not play with acquiring clean clothes too. So you keep clean. Say lots of istighfar while also saying salatu ala nabi. Don't forget, from the aspects of asking Allah for forgiveness is saying salatu ala nabi also. From the rewards of salatu ala nabi is, like the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wa hutta anhu ashru khati'at. The one who says salatu ala nabi, he gets 10 sins for each salat taken away from him. Allah will take away 10 sins from him when he does what? When he asks that Allah should say salatu ala nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he saw salatu ala nabi, don't joke with it. At the same time, say lots of istighfar. Rabbi kfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi kfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. When you say lots of that, say salatu ala nabi. So you combine between keeping clean and acquiring clean clothes. Keeping clean and acquiring clean clothes. I hope that it is clear. Is it permissible to make salatu ala nabi when the name is mentioned in salawatul? No, we said this, we repeatedly explained this in the last class. We will not go back to it. Please, what are the best ways to remember our late parents? Is cooking and sharing akara eating cake or any food advisable? Yes. If that's not the way to remember them, you are just giving sadaqah on their behalf as a child. It does not have to be food. It can be money, it can be clothes, it can be anything you give as a child, hoping that Allah uses that as a means of providing forgiveness for your parents. It does not have to be akara. In fact, if I have a choice, I will not do akara, bean cake. Why? Because there are negative thoughts connected to it. So you can do something else. You can do something else. And it does not have to be on the seventh day. It does not have to be on the 10th day. It does not have to be on the 40th day. It does not have to be 1 year anniversary of the death of your father. No, all of these are innovations that are connected to it. So don't allow people to disguise, to make innovations, trying to dress it with the cloth of sunnah. Yes, you can cook food by way of giving people food. We emphasized it in the last class. Providing food is a major act of ibadah. So when you do that, you beg Allah to grant your parents forgiveness. Therewith, that's lawful. But it does not have to be akara or the like of this that our community is, because they have connected other things to that being paid. So you can do other kinds of food if it is food that you want. You can do other kinds of sadaqah, which is the basic rule. I hope that that is clear.
Assalamu
alaikum. Abu Amir. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, ya Shaykh. If one father's name contains something of shirk, can one change it to another one of his names that he isn't popularly known by?
We have said it. You cannot change your father's name. If your father is Abdurrazzaq Shangodina, for example, he is bearing that Shangodina as his Yoruba name. So from the two, you bear Abdurrahman Shangodina, but your father's name is Abdullah Shangodina. You can bear Abdurrahman ibn Abdullah. You can drop Shangodina. You have not changed any. You've not changed your father's name. Abdurrahman is still your father's name. There is no blame in that. If you don't also change that Shangodina, there is no blame in that. If you don't change it, there is no blame. What is important is that you can change your name if it has these kinds of negative meanings that are not lawful. But if your father has two names, Abdullah Shangodina, but he chose Shangodina for you, you can change Shangodina to Abdurrahman. Why? Abdurrahman is still his name. But if he's not bearing Abdurrahman, the only name he bears is Shangodina. You are Abdullah Shangodina. You cannot change Shangodina to something else. You cannot change your parents' name. They are not your names. The Prophet did not change the name of the parents of Barra. Juwayriya. His name was Abu Ibn, the father Al-Harith was Ibn Abi Dhirar. He did not change Abu Dhirar. There are many examples like that. I have a compilation of the number of names that the Prophet changed. Those that he changed, even if the hadith is da'if, there's a book on all of these. Those who were said to have had name change. The father's name is not changed. It is the name of the child that is changed. I hope that that is clear on that matter, Ikhwa. We can employ the basic rule to understand the rest of the matter. Somebody is saying, "Law samahti abana sayuskulana mana juwariya." We explain the meaning of juwariya, that it is tasgir of jariya. Jariya is a young, beautiful girl. Juwariya is the tasgir of that. I think we said that during the class, Ikhwa. Sometimes we explain some things during the class so that we don't come back to it at question time. it will save us time. That is the advantage. So if we listen well, many of the questions we ask, we will not need to ask them. Equal, let us try to do that, so that we'll not be going back to an explanation we already gave during the class. Can I receive a birthday gift as Sadakoth? No. Are you also celebrating your birthday? If you are not celebrating your birthday, people don't give you birthday gift. Celebrating birthday is from the ways of the people of Kufa. Before the Prophet came, alayhi salatu salam, the Chinese, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the far Asian religions were celebrating birthdays. The Prophet never celebrated his own. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't celebrate birthdays, whether stylishly or directly. Some people stylishly, they say, I'm not celebrating, I'm making dua. Who told you to make dua on the day of your birthday? Who told you? You are stylishly violating that rule. Don't celebrate birthdays. It is not from the ways of the people of Islam. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money saying that you are celebrating birthday. You are buying good clothes for yourself. Don't do it. Unfortunately, it is common now. What I'm saying now, you may find it strange. Why are you saying we should not celebrate birthdays? Celebrating birthdays is not from our religion, Islam. I think we can say that one. So please, Ikhwa, don't waste your time, don't waste your money, don't waste your energy. Instead of celebrating birthday, it does not have to be on your birthday. Some people say, I'm giving Sadaqah on the day of my birthday. Why should your Sadaqah be on the day of your birthday? It's still a way of identifying with that birthday. You are the one celebrating Hijrah now. The Hijrah too, we are not asked to celebrate it. You start seeing people sending messages, happy Hijrah, happy Hijrah. Who sent you that happy Hijrah? Who sent you? The times when they sent us to be full of worship, first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, Ayyam al-Tashriq, who were shouting and announcing that. For these ones, Eidu Awwal al-Muharram, Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Nobody sent us anything about that. So don't waste your time, don't waste your energy. Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu. Whoever brings something into this religion of ours that does not belong to it, it will be rejected. May Allah protect us. I hope that these are sufficient. Except Abu Amir, except you have a question specifically you think we did not see requires an attention.
Okay, just the one. Is saying Allah's name without saying Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, does it have any implications? Just like not saying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Prophet Muhammad's name.
When we say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after mentioning the Prophet's name, Allah told us to do it. The Prophet told us to do it, alayhi salatu wasalam. In further explaining that verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallim wa taslima. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the negative repercussions of not saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the scholars have not told us that if you mention Allah, you didn't say Azza wa Jalla, you didn't say Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that you have a blame, you have a sin on you. Neither have I heard any of the scholars mentioning a hadith or a verse of the Quran on that. But still, it is from the aspects of being manly with Allah. It is from the aspects of showing esteem for your Lord and reverence that when you mention him, you say Azza wa Jalla. He says Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He says Dhul Jalal wal Ikram and all these expressions that we employ when we mention Allah. They are from the aspects of showing respect and esteem. But that if you don't say it, there's a sin. Just like if you didn't say Salah to Allah Nabi, there's a sin, there's an evil repercussion. We have not been told that by the scholars. Wallahu alam. I hope that that is clear about me.
Uh,
The question here, what is the correlation between the chapter heading and the last two hadith? We have said that during the class. It was the last thing we said before we came to question and answer. The question is there a restriction to saying Ameen when dua is said or heard? When dua is said or heard, when we say Ameen, it's the general rule. Does it have a place where we can say Ameen? Does it have a place where we can say Ameen? Maybe when we are on obligatory salah and someone reads, for example, Rabbana waqalu Rabbana innana amanna faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina, and all of these, maybe some portion in Al Imran or some portions in Al-Baqarah that has dua on all of these. Can we say Ameen? No. Because those portions actually are of dua too. You can't say Ameen if you are on obligatory salah, except during kunut. If it is kunut in an obligatory salat, at the time when the imams are encouraged to say kunut, then you can say Ameen. I hope that this one is clear too. But Ameen, can we call it a day today? It's already 8 o'clock. I mean, yeah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. مع السلامة.
آمين آمين وإياكم مبارك.